You're listening to the Music Manumit Podcast for May 29, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and today with me is Doug, and we have a guest today. Doug, why don't you introduce our guest for us?
Well, we have Ben Sharp, I guess alternatively known as Cloud Kicker. I don't know how that really works with the one-man band. Is that the name of the project, or is that like your alternate persona, Ben?
No, it's the name of the band that doesn't exist.
So there's no Ziggy Stardust thing going on.
Wait a minute, that's so existential. No, how does that work?
Yeah. It's a band, but there's no band. But it's not just me. I would never want anyone, and nor would I insist on anyone refer to me as Cloud Kicker.
It is a pretty good name, though. I might have people start calling me Cloud Kicker just for kicks.
It's fine. You can do that
at work. You know, like.
Really, at work, that's where you need to have nicknames. Well, I guess it worked. Yeah, you know, things like that whole episode of Seinfeld where there's that he wants everybody to call him T-Bone, and they end up calling him Coco. But now, did I hear you right? You said that it's not just you in Cloud Kicker.
No.
So you said
it is just me.
Okay. Because here I was like, okay, now you're just messing with me, because it was like, it's a band, but it's not a band, but it's not just me. And I was like, wait a minute, so there are more people in it? So I was all confused. Okay.
So give us the backstory on that confusing sentence.
Well, a while ago, like 6 years ago, I was writing music under my own name. Well, my own first two initials and last name, B.M. Sharp. And that worked for a while. And actually, to go back to I'm a little scatterbrained right now. I had a pretty long day at work, so...
That's quite all right.
But, so I was writing music 6 years ago under BM Sharp, and then... So that's me. That is me, and if you call me that, that's okay. And then, move forward, I wrote music that started to be, like, what... It started to go in the direction of what Cloud Kicker was going to be, where... You know, things you could play in a band. So in that instance, I guess 5 years ago, I actually this was 2007. So I was playing in a band. There was a band that was Cloud Kicker. So at the time, it made sense. But now there's no band called Cloud Kicker anymore, so it doesn't make any more sense. So that's kind of where the confusion set in.
Interesting.
Earlier. A minute ago.
So why did the band disband, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying that sentence?
Because the band was based in Los Angeles, and at the end of 2007, I moved from Los Angeles to Ohio, so the band was no more.
Oh.
So the band was no more, but Beacons, which is, I think the only album, it's the only album on Bandcamp anyway, was released in September of 2010. So you had, you know, three-ish years in between the breakup and the release of the album. So what happened with that?
Well, there's more than one album on Bandcamp. The first thing I put out was called The Discovery, and that was in 2008. I was in summer of 2008, and then winter of 2009, I put out an EP called The Map Is Not the Territory, and then summer of 2009, I put out a smaller EP called Portmanteau, and then winter of 2009-2010, I put out an even smaller EP that had a very confusing name, and it's now called A New Heavenly Body, and then Beacons. Then we're at the Beacons. That was summer/fall 2011.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so just in case anybody goes to the site later and is looking for this, just like I did, I was trying to click on the discography thing up there, but it's not a link. They're actually listed underneath there. But the only one that's on the front page is actually the only one that has tracks listed on the front page is Beacons. So that's why I thought that was the only one.
Right. That's what I was going
to
tell you.
A whole new world opened up to me.
Yeah, they put them down the side, and it's kind of somewhat of a blind spot on the website on Bandcamp, but yeah, that's where all the rest of the albums are located.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's actually, I don't know if I should, go back to this, but there's a way to set up Bandcamp so the page that you land on is actually, an index page.
Yeah.
Of everything. Just for me, Beacons is the newest thing, and that's where all the merch is. Bandcamp is kind of set up in a weird way right now, and when I talk to them, they say that they're working on it, but the way that you have to do it now is, as far as I know, you can't, have, an albums, a music section and a merch section. Since it kind of started around hosting music and then branched off into, merchandise and tour dates and whatever, it kind of isn't 100%, I don't know how you would describe it, but it's not very well, not very optimized.
Yes, yeah. And the... that index page that you were talking about isn't the prettiest page in the world either. It's just squares stacked on a screen,
You just kind of pick which one of those you want people to land on, and I figured the page for Beacons is all right. I don't think it's that confusing. There's a discography on the right side, but
I think what confused me is that the second album is all black. And so it doesn't stand out from the rest of the page. And
I could see that.
Beacons is the discography.
It kind of blends into the background. Maybe that's what. Yeah, I could see that now. That makes sense. I see here too that you had a vinyl version of the album that's all sold out. How many did you do a limited pressing of those or?
Well, actually, it's not sold out. I still have. I made 250 of them, and I have. A few left. At the moment, I'm out of shipping materials, and I haven't reordered. So I still have 20 or 30 left, I think.
Wow, you sold that many. That's really great. I like the fact that there was a demand for such a thing. That's cool.
I know, for a medium that peaked 30 years ago, maybe even more, 40 years ago. 34 years ago. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's making a comeback. You can buy LPs at Best Buy now, which is kind of crazy.
Can you really? I didn't know that. I guess it's been a while since I've been at a Best Buy.
Yeah, that's probably all right.
It says here, now that I know that there's more than one album, that you re-released A New Heavenly Body a few months after it was initially released. What went into the decision making process for remixing and remastering that? Just 9 months after it was released the first time.
After Beacons, I upgraded my recording setup, and I wanted to just test it out and get used to it. Kind of, it was a transition, you upgrade speakers, they all have a different signature to them, so I kind of wanted to get used to the new ones, and I figured the best way to do that was to take something I was familiar with and kind of learn the nuances that way. And actually, the only album that I have access to as it is right now is that one that you just referenced. So, and it was quick, there's only three songs, 15 minutes long, so it wasn't a project. If I gone back and somehow been able to do the discovery, which would be neat, but it's on a different computer, and I used Windows instead of OS X at the time, so it would just be a total hassle to get back to. It would be a project, so that the New Heavenly Body one was just an easy thing to get in. I did it in a weekend, and and then it'll also sound better.
So you recorded these all yourself at home, or like you have a home studio or something?
Well, I have a laptop that's attached. I have everything's all DI, and then the drums are done. A drum program called Superior Drummer.
Okay.
It's all a native on my laptop.
Right.
So yes, I have a pseudo, 2011 garage band studio in my apartment.
It's like the actual program GarageBand?
No, well, I use Logic, which is a glorified version of GarageBand, basically.
Right. Okay, because I was going to say I'm on, if you have the extension pack of GarageBand, I'm on it. It means I'm one of the sampled voices. My guitarist did a lot of work for Apple creating loops for the new version of GarageBand that came out a while ago, the one where it had the version, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's the one where you set it up like a stage. And you literally put the instruments where they're supposed to go, and then you write there, and they have sample loops that you can buy in expansion pack is what it's called. And I believe my name on it was Jack or Tony or something like that. And basically what it all amounts to is I stood in the studio for an hour, listened to a click track, and they go, okay, now make an ooh noise. And I went, ooh, ooh. And then they were like, okay, now make a grunt noise. And I go, and I did that for an hour and got $40.
Nice.
And only two of my samples got chosen, but I was on it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I haven't really used a GarageBand, but I know you just get it on every Mac, so I'll have to check it out when I get home.
Yeah, it's like a glorified version of I don't know, it's like the Fisher-Price version of recording studio software to me. It just seems like it even kind of looks that way. Like everything on it is kind of big and bulbish, for small hands, to kind of use.
Yeah.
But no, you're using Logic and recording stuff. And what's the drum machine you were using again? I forgot what you said.
It's called Superior Drummer. It's by a company called TuneTrack. I don't work for the company or anything, but I first heard of that software when Meshuggah recorded their album Catch 33, because the drums on that were fake. That was like Superior Drummer 1.0, and then which was like 10 years ago. So I'm using Superior Drummer 2.0. It's mind blowing.
10 years ago, and they're only at 2.0? Or you are just using the same version, you haven't upgraded?
No, still, they're at 2.0.
Huh.
I don't know. They're, yeah? Yes?
I don't know.
Like I said, I don't work for them. They'll have to direct your questions to their...
I'll call tech support and find out from them. Get down to the meat of this problem.
Why are you only at 2.0? I want to know.
Tell me now. Where's my family? It turned into a Harrison Ford movie. I guess one of the things I would like to know too is what's your musical roots? What did you consider yourself originally before doing all the stuff yourself? What was your main, outlet?
I don't really know how to answer that. I mean, I was in bands, I was in various garage bands from the time I was 15 up until playing shows here and there in LA and moving through three or four or five, I forget how many different bands, arriving at Cloud Kicker, and then it all kind of ended. So I was in bands pretty consistently from the time I was 15 until the time I was 22.
But would you say was your forte were you a guitarist or or mainly a drummer or singer?
No, guitar.
Okay.
I've only recently kind of started to delve into drums, only out of necessity, because I needed to learn how drums work so that I could program drum parts that didn't sound super terrible. And then I I can actually kind of play drums now. Like, cause so I learned drums in a backwards way, which was kind of weird, but I haven't always been a guitarist, but I've been playing guitar the majority of my life. So that's like where I got, that was my in to music.
Hmm. So all of the five albums are instrumental albums, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So just to clear that up, cause just in case anybody hasn't heard the stuff, because Tom asked if you were a singer.
This is true, I did ask that as
an example of something that you might be doing, but that's not something you would have been doing in this particular.
Are you telling him he can't, Doug? Are you saying that he's not allowed to sing?
No, he can sing. I hope he does on the next album, but he just hasn't. So that's all I'm saying.
I probably won't. I'm not a very good singer, but.
Well, good.
And I don't really want to do that. I don't know.
Maybe you could get Tom in the studio for an hour and just have him.
And I'll go,
I'll just replace the kick drum on whatever I do next with you grunting.
I think you should. I think that should be a requirement for most bands.
Yeah, it'll be crazy avant-garde, and most people hate it, but.
I'll be like the drum version of what P. Diddy does to his song where he just goes, you know, only it'll be ooh, ooh, and it'll be the bass drum. So I think that we're onto something here and we should pursue this.
So you need to auto-tune that too.
Oh, of course. Of course. That's all the rage. That's what the kids are doing these days. Yeah. It's like, you know, 70s it was drugs. Today it's auto-tuning and internet porn. So I guess...
We've kind of gone back and forth between, you know, the past and the present. But as far as the Cloud Kicker story, I don't think we ever got any sort of story as to where the name came from. Were you guys, like, messing with a fog machine, kicking the clouds, or how did that come about?
No, it's from a old cartoon I used to watch when I was a kid called Tailspin. There's a character called Cloud Kicker.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah, Mr. Cartoon.
Yeah, I used to watch that show pretty much every day after I think that was around like third or fourth or fifth grade or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm, you know, obsessed with that show, but when I was trying to think of band names. You know, like I said, a band came out of some songs I wrote. So I was like, well, I guess I need a band name for it. Certainly wasn't going to call a band my name, which is like the lamest thing ever.
And I'm glad that you didn't use Launchpad, because he was the bumbling fool of the show. Yeah. Wasn't he he was the one pilot that couldn't really fly but always did for some reason?
It was actually, between Cloud Kicker and Whistlestop Jackson, which was another character on the show, more minor characters, but Cloud Kicker was three syllables, Whistlestop Jackson was five, and Cloud Kicker has since become a more fitting name, I think.
Hey, Tom, I think you're thinking of Darkwing Duck.
He was on both shows.
Was he?
Yeah, Launchpad was on both shows.
Huh. Okay.
I swear to God, it was the same guy. The tall duck guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you're right or not.
I'm gonna say I am, but you know.
Well, I know that he's definitely in Darkwing Duck, but that's really beside the point. So moving on. Tailspin was a good show, though. I just want to throw that in there. Despite Disney pretty much being dicks all the way around, that was a good show.
Well, not to you personally, but I get where you're going with that.
Oh, yeah, to me personally.
No, to you personally. They've come over and they've said, Doug, I don't like you. We're Disney.
yeah.
So
every day, actually.
It's, good. It's well, kind of... it has to be done sometime. And I'm just glad they're taking care of it. They have the money, the resources. So Ben, what now, out of all this, why did you choose to go the Creative Commons route in putting your licensing your stuff under Creative Commons?
Because you can to do that on Bandcamp, and I decided to.
Cool.
Really wasn't very much. It wasn't any more complex than that. Like, I knew what Creative Commons was, and I thought it was kind of cool. But if there hadn't been an option to do that on Bandcamp, I probably wouldn't have done that at all. So, you know, Bandcamp, I guess, is kind of forward-thinking, like, license under Creative Commons. So I figured, why not?
See, now that's I love that story because that's exactly what it is. It's just like I think when we spoke with the guy from we actually spoke with someone from Creative Commons and was talking about the fact that I think really if the more just that it's embedded in stuff, people will go, "What's this?" And then they'll read a brief description. They'll be like, "Oh, well, of course I want to do that. Of course I want to own my own stuff, you know, and yet let people share it with each other." You know, and other such things, and promote it, and that's exactly the to tell you the truth, this is the first time I've really heard that story, or anybody mention that story. I've heard people just go, "Hey, you know, someone told them that they should try it out, and then they looked." But I love the fact that you're like, "I heard about Bandcamp, you uploaded, and then saw, oh, it's this, and then did it." I think that's really great. And you don't have to, I can't talk. So you don't have to lose money on it, which is the one misconception that everybody thinks when they hear about it is just like, oh, it has to be given away for free. And it's like, no, it does not at all. Have you found that doing your music this way, have you actually had more sales? Like, obviously, Bandcamp's only been around for like maybe a year, and you've got albums trailing throughout the years. Have you noticed a difference in sales because of this online way of sharing it?
Well, I didn't ever offer anything. Everything was free before Beacons, so I don't really know.
Oh.
I mean, and Beacons is free, too, if you just want to download it.
Right. And I guess what I'm talking about is the physical products, is what I really meant.
Yeah, I haven't. Beacons was the first thing where I offered anything physical, too, so I guess I can't really answer that.
So the albums that you created before, you didn't have just like CDs that you had created home or anything?
It wasn't. Well,
and
no.
Like sold locally or whatever. Now. Okay. I guess that's what my question was, is like before you actually were offering them digitally and then had the Beacons one, like if you were selling them on your own or selling them at shows or other such things, like if you had noticed the difference in the way that, you know, you were a broader audience being sold to.
Yeah, I'm not a very good person to ask that.
Well, okay. How about this question? I guess Bandcamp doesn't give you that info. I was going to say, what's the strangest place that strangest location that downloaded your CD? Well, I guess maybe. How about some of the albums you've shipped? What's some of the strangest places you've shipped them? If any.
Say that one more time.
The records that you were shipping. What's one of the stranger places that you had sent it to, if any?
Honestly, I've sent it. I don't think I've sent it anywhere in Africa.
Okay.
I've sent it to, and I haven't sent it to Antarctica or the North Pole, but I've sent it to pretty much everywhere else. I know I've sent a couple of the Philippines. I mean, that's kind of remote. I sent a couple to China. I didn't know that they allowed music there.
Yeah.
No, it's, I know that they allow music in China, but
they just tell you what music they allow.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you got through the Great Firewall of China. How about that?
You've been approved by the czar or whatever the hell the leader of China is. I can't think off the top of my head.
It's not the czar.
I know it's not a czar. That's Russian or something, right?
Yeah.
Former. I just sent one to Russia, I think, last week. Whole bunch go to Australia and the UK. I guess it's not very surprising. But, it seems like I send one every other week to Australia, at least. And then, you know, the crazy Eastern Bloc countries have sent albums there. I don't know if I've sent any to Mexico or Cuba. Probably not Cuba. But
yeah,
Is
Bandcamp... They're U.S.-based, right?
Yeah. I think the guy that created Yahoo Mail is the guy that created the company.
Yeah, so I mean, they couldn't ship them to Cuba, or I guess they don't know where you ship them though. If you're shipping, yeah. So okay, never mind.
I'm the only one that's shipping them. I can't. Well, I mean,
Bandcamp is just like a portal.
Yeah. I was just thinking. Well, but the reason why I asked is I was just flipping through the Bandcamp FAQ because of Tom saying that it had been around a year, and I wanted to see if I could figure out a date.
Always got to prove me wrong.
No. I could prove you right. Actually.
Oh, okay. It's been a year.
No, I haven't found it yet.
Okay.
I think it was like May or June of 2010.
That's
the first time that I heard about it. So it might have been spring or summer of 2010.
Well, I went to Wikipedia. That's my go-to source, and they don't have a date. But what I did find on their FAQ is, can I restrict sales on Bandcamp by geographic region? And it just so happened I saw this when we were talking about this. Hmm. And then it said, sorry, no plans to add it in the future either. But that's interesting that apparently that's a frequently asked question.
Yeah, that is weird. Like someone going, I am not going to ship my stuff to this place. I mean, I suppose if you disagree with their policies or something, that might be a reason too, but I don't know if it would be enough so that it's a frequently asked question.
Yeah. I don't know.
No one in North Dakota is going to get this album.
Yeah.
Over my dead body, will anyone in Fargo be listening to this?
And I stand firm on that.
Yeah. Sneak it across the Minnesota.
So you said you moved out to Ohio, and that's where you're living currently.
Columbus,
Ohio?
Yes.
Okay. And now, I know that you answered that you only, learned about Creative Commons through Bandcamp and stuff, but have you discovered any, more things about Creative Commons since you've learned about it, or... have you noticed any other bands that use it, or have you noticed a general awareness of it now that you've yourself become aware?
Not really.
No. And you understandable. It's understandable, but so you probably don't know of or couldn't tell if there's even a support for it in your community or other bands around your area.
Yeah, because I don't really, I'm not very involved in the music scene,
mm-hmm.
so I don't really keep up with anything like that. I don't hang out with other bands. I don't really have any way of knowing the answer to that.
Would you even say that Columbus, Ohio has a burgeoning music scene in general? I think so. I'm suddenly getting this image of you as you get those Meals on Wheels programs and you kind of open the door a crack and look out. I'm just kidding.
I haven't been to a show in a while, but I have been to a few in Columbus. I couldn't tell you a whole lot about the music scene or... I know there's a couple bands whose names I've heard a couple times, from different people. So I know there's a scene.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective is so skewed being from LA because it's so oversaturated.
That's a good point, yeah.
I have no idea how it compares to, any other kind of moderately sized city. But I would say that being as young a city as it is, I would just guess that there's probably a lot of activity going on. I know some people in Columbus that are in bands, so I know that it's not completely dead, and there's some cool venues in the city that I've been to. So I would rate it favorably.
Yeah. Well, what about outside of music, too? I don't know if you... I know a lot of people that are photographers and web developers, and so a lot of that sort of stuff ends up being Creative Commons. So I don't know... what you do outside of Cloud Kicker, but have you noticed it in other realms?
No.
Okay.
I really haven't, because outside of music, I mean, that's the only, the Cloudcaker thing is like the only real way that I would have any interaction with it, you know, that the only medium is music that I'm personally involved with that would use that, I think. So I don't have any other way of coming in contact with it, and I'm like relatively detached from the scene as it is, so I'm not very in touch with it.
Do you think you have sort of a, I mean, obviously you're selling stuff, you're shipping albums. Is this something that you're looking to sort of make your job, or where do you sort of see Cloudcaker going?
I see it, at least I hope, if I can just have it stay exactly the way that it is, I honestly would be happy with that. I do a lot of traveling for my job, and so typically mail, I just collect orders, and then I've gotten into a routine now where I mail them about once a week. Once a week I just sit down and devote, you know, a few hours to packaging and then driving them to the post office, and I do that once a week. And I'm pretty comfortable with the way things are. I don't have a crazy amount of orders, but it's steady. And I don't, you know, it's the money that I take in from Cloudkicker goes towards Cloudkicker only. So I don't ever want to use it to buy food or pay bills or you know, put a down payment on a house or anything like that. So it's purely, you know, all the profits are going to go back into, you know, maybe the next album that I make, I can have like some kind of cool packaging. Or, you know, I don't even know, because I'm not there yet. But, it's its own thing, and it's going to stay that way.
That's cool. What do you think? I mean, obviously, as we mentioned, they're all instrumental albums. Would you say that there's some sort of progression, or you know, how do you think you've musically developed?
Honestly, I would say that Cloudkicker was like a response to me getting like really, really into Meshuggah, like for a period of time, and then it was
into,
like,
wait, into what? Into Meshuggah?
The Swedish band Meshuggah. It's kind of
they invented an entire genre, more or less.
Well, because I just know it as the Yiddish word. I didn't know that there was actually a band that was called that.
Yeah, they're fairly well known. Once you get into like, they're well known, if this makes any sense, they're incredibly well known in the circle of people who know them.
I like that explanation.
They've been around for 24 years, so I mean, they're on Nuclear Blast, which is, you know, a huge metal label.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they were nominated for a Swedish Grammy Award. Wikipedia tells me.
Well, like you said, they invented this kind of the direction that this, all these bands, I guess, that I'm one of, that cropped up in the past, it seems to me, like even in the past 4 years. Everyone, I think, is just now catching up to Meshuggah and where they've been for the past 10 years at least. You know, listening to their stuff that came out in the mid-90s is still mind-blowing compared to what's coming out now. So they invented this style of music that people are just now catching up to and building on. And that was, like, what I was, you know, it exploded in my brain in 2007, and then I said, I gotta make music like this. So the first thing, the discovery, is almost me just you know, trying to be as much sugar as I can, but I'm very melodically inclined, so I can't necessarily pull off the dissonance thing. So it came off very melodically. And then since then, I feel it's kind of gone, it's taken the element, the basic elements, the kind of syncopated rhythm, the polyrhythms, and the odd time signatures, and incorporated that into more of a, I almost want to use the term shoegazy, or you know, just music that creates a scene. And I don't really know what to call that. So it's definitely evolved. You know, if you listen from the discovery chronologically through to Beacons, it's different, but it's built on itself, I think.
Well, yeah, very cool. I want to give it a name now, because you said I don't know what I'd call it, and I'd say let's call it Frank. Or, you know, give it a person's name. I got to say, though, it's funny listening to you talk about that, because I still hear Meshuggah when you say it, which means, and you were like, and I want to be more Meshuggah with something, or you said something like that, and it actually fit in the sentence, in the fact that Meshuggah meaning crazy person. But it worked with the statement that he made.
Could we call it like melodic gent? Or gent, or whatever, however you pronounce the DG or DJENT word.
DJ.
Yeah, I mean, people, I've been told that's what it is many times. You can call it whatever you want. I don't really get hung up.
Why don't we just hyphenate all of the tags you have on Bandcamp, and it'll be ambient instrumental metal progressive rock?
Well, if you can create a word that's all of those together, we could start with that and then work from there.
I'm in rock. I don't know. That's just off the top of my head. I'm in rock. Or almond rock? No, that's dumb. That sounds more hippie-ish. Almond rock. I don't know why. Okay, now I'm just thinking to myself.
I don't know if you're into sort of, I guess, other types of metal, just metal more generally, or sort of more this progressive metal. But there's a tag on Last.fm that's something like epic, progressive, pagan, Viking folk metal or something like that. And so that's like a genre that I think like Moon Sorrow and who's the other band? I feel like the other band has Moon in it as well, but it's not Moon Sorrow. Moonspell. Moonspell and Moonsparrow, I think, are both supposedly in this multi-hyphenated genre. That's what I'm feeling for you, is some sort of ridiculously long metal. I think progressive metal. I mean, I've just listened to Beacons, but I mean, I'd put it in.
Well, that was just because you couldn't find the albums on the side of the page.
Yeah, because I didn't know the other ones existed. I clearly didn't. I listened, quote unquote, to the interview with Craig over at Open Metalcast, but I clearly didn't listen that closely. I was probably on my bike or something when I was listening to it, and occasionally making sure somebody didn't, like, you know, run behind me or something.
Yeah.
Hey, you're mentioned on Wikipedia under Gent musicians.
Really?
Other bands of the scene are Monuments, Volumes, Cloud Kicker, Silhouettes, The Contortionists. So there you go.
Hey.
Well, hot damn.
I get it. If it's on Wikipedia, then it's 100% fact. So that's more arguing about it. We can all just listen to the music now.
Because it's there for life now, because it's on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's written in stone. That actually makes... I saw a video for a band / tutorial the other day. It was a guy that was showing how he writes his music. And in the beginning, they did a funny sort of thing like that to his mother. They called her up on the phone to tell her that they were making video for the song that they did or something, this song that she likes, and they had her on speakerphone, and they're like, okay, Mom, we're making a video for you, or for that song you like, and now we just want you to know you're on speakerphone, and we're recording this, and it's going on the internet, so don't swear. And like, they just kept saying that. Yeah. They kept like going, don't swear, okay? You're going to be on the internet. And she was like, okay, I won't. And she didn't get the fact that it's the internet, you can swear. Okay, that was a better story in my head while I was thinking of telling it. Oh, well.
Well, it sounds like a really interesting video.
Oddly enough, it really was. I know. It was. It started out really juvenile, but then they started showing how they did the stuff, and it was actually pretty entertaining, the way that they were. Because it was much like the process you do, where they were just showing, like, they create it all on their laptop. And they have a couple of different instruments they hook up, but for the most part, it's all self-generated. And it was kind of insightful. So I enjoyed it, but I just thought the part at the beginning was funny. Apparently, I'm the only one. I don't know.
So obviously, you like Meshuggah. Have you, in your, I'm assuming you've kind of crawled around Bandcamp and just seen what else is out there. Have you discovered any other music under Creative Commons that you really like? And Creative Commons or not, what are some of your other favorite bands besides Meshuggah?
No, I don't do a lot of exploring on Bandcamp. I Meshuggah has not really entered, like, I haven't really listened to that band for a while. I haven't really listened to any metal, I don't know, for a year or so. So the music that I'm into now is like a total 180 from, I guess, what you would think if you listen to the music.
Do you listen to Britney Spears now?
No, I don't listen to Britney Spears.
You're into that Rebecca Black song?
Have you seen? Okay, have either of you seen the, like, metal versions of the
Rebecca
Black song?
Yes, I have, and they're pretty good.
That is, yeah.
Well, and they're kind of funny too.
Have you seen them, Ben?
No.
Do you even know who we're talking about? The Rebecca Black thing, the girl that auto-tuned Fry. Okay. Well, because I've had the conversation with some people, and they're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, they think I'm talking about Clint Black's wife, which I believe he's a country musician or something. I don't know.
go to YouTube and search, like, Rebecca Black Metal, and it'll be, you'll...
Oh, my God, that'd be a great name for the genre. Rebecca Black Metal.
Was there ever anybody in Cloudkicker named Rebecca?
No.
I don't know if that's going to work, Tom.
I don't care. Okay, then I'm using it. That's mine now.
Okay, go for it. So one of the questions we always like to ask people is, you know, if they have advice for if people were going to make money. And you said that you're not sort of interested in making it, you know, like being a musician as, you know, your trade. But if you were put in a position where, you know, you needed to do that, or you changed your mind and you really thought that's what you want to do, do you sort of see what the next step should be in that? Do you have any thoughts on sort of what you might do if you did want to take it to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to start touring and start promoting and start booking shows and getting a band together and practicing and doing all the things that...
I can hear you getting tired already talking about it.
Well, it's like, it's like, I know what I would have to do if I wanted to turn it into something that, you know, would pay bills for me. But to me, that's the beauty of it, is that I don't want to do all those things. And I am totally happy with it the way it is, being a hobby of mine. And it's not, I'm not telling anyone that if you're motivated to play music, to not do it because I don't want to do it. I'm not saying that at all. It's a personal thing for me that I personally don't want to ruin my enjoyment of music. By turning it into something that I have to do, otherwise I wouldn't have a place to live. So, and I'm fortunate in that regard that I do have a fairly stable career that provides that for me. So now I can in my extra time, do this thing that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, now it's by really no doing of my own, it's producing a, it's bringing in finances on its own that, like I said, will stay partitioned off in its own little world. So, you know, this is just what works for me. And if you want to be in a band and tour, go do that and have a lot of fun.
I have an add-on question to that too. Just out of the, I mean, because you've said that you have a pretty steady, user base coming in from the selling of the albums. And now,
I love how you always call people that listen to music user bases.
Do I do that all the time?
You've done it before, that's for sure.
Hmm. Yeah, I think because you pointed it out to me once before. You have, yeah. You have, Dick. Anyway,
continue.
So anyway, fan base, is fan base okay, Doug?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm gonna say fan base. All right, I guess how did the word get out? Did you just post it on Bandcamp and then that was the end of it? I mean, was there any sort of way that the word got out there about what you do?
It started very organically. It started small on, like I said, it started back in, you know, it started 6 years ago with the thing that I was doing under my own name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was just music that I made. I would put up new songs like every week, every 2 weeks. you know, that was a totally different time in my life where I had, you know, every night I was home and I had the majority of my time was for me and I could make music all the time and that was cool. And I would put music up very regularly and it was honestly, I think just like me, you know, back when MySpace was relevant, it was just I kind of had it as my, back in 2005, this was also before Facebook happened really. So it was like my profile. It just happened to have music on it. That was all, my whole thing. It was like, this is me, and my profile is music that I make.
Okay.
So, I mean, it started incredibly humbly. You know, it was just all my friends, and then I don't know how, I don't know what happened. You know, maybe some friends told some other friends. I really don't remember. But, you know, that my personal music page, I don't think it ever got above 300 or 400 people that were subscribing to it or whatever, following it.
Right.
Whatever happened. It was only when the CloudKicker thing happened, it seems like it's increased exponentially from there. You know, the CloudKicker started very slow. The first year, when we actually were a band, for a very brief period of time, we were actively seeking people like, hey, come listen to this because we're a band. You know, that's what you do.
Right.
But I was never, I never really.
You know, you were never putting it out there or anything like that. Yeah, that was essentially what I was wondering. Is like, was it just something? Yeah. And that's kind of the answer I expected. Just, you know, back when, I'm assuming when you say your profile page, you meant MySpace, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's,
just double checking.
That was.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So,
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, to get on with me answering your question, I've never ever been incredibly comfortable like telling people that they have to listen to my music or like, you know, hey, everyone sit down. I'm going to play you my music and you have to listen to it. And I always hate when people do that to me when they're in bands and they like commandeer a room full of people and say, we're all listening to my band's crappy CD that we just made. And I've always been like, offended by that, so I was never comfortable doing that myself. So, CloudKicker is 99% of how it got to where it is today is by word of mouth, and I think that's really awesome.
So you were describing that one scene in Animal House where the guy's singing to the girls on the step, and John Belushi comes down and smashes his guitar against the wall because he's sitting there singing in the middle of a party. That's what that made me think of when you were saying that.
Yeah, good. It's been a while since I've seen Animal House, but that sounds like a good analog.
Yeah. I'll agree with you on that point. Oh, wait.
So we were talking about sort of, you know, the promotion and whatnot. I mentioned earlier that you had the interview with Craig, like a month ago or something. Have you been interviewed by anybody else? I'm just sort of curious about, furthering sort of the rise of Cloud Kicker, if anybody like that has sort of helped out.
I've been interviewed countless times, just like over email, starting, I think the first interview I did, that's another thing that's like increased exponentially. The first interview I did, I believe, was in February of 2009, I want to say. After Beacons, I've done like a couple college radio interviews where like I've driven, was one up in Oberlin College in Ohio, another one in Denison College, was also in Ohio. So, you know, local Ohio college radio, but still, that's someone at a college radio station that felt that they wanted me to come out and talk to them. So that was pretty mind blowing. And I think Craig was the first Skype interview, so you're the second. So you're the fourth interview that I've done using my voice.
We're number four. Yeah. I like it.
So that means you're totally unoriginal and.
Oh, well, we are.
I would be ashamed.
We should be, because I just saw that you had the interview with Craig, and I was like, oh man, this guy's willing to do interviews, and apparently he can schedule things on times when, you know, is not during work hours. We've scheduled, we've done interviews with people from like Italy and Germany and Australia, and it's a pain in the ass scheduling those. I mean, they've all been great interviews, definitely worth it, but it's nice when we get somebody in the good old US of A simply because it makes life easier.
And relatively close to our time zone.
That's what I meant by makes life easier.
But US of A has
four. Guy who, this guy doesn't have the ability to say no to interviews. Let's interview.
That's really our ace in the hole.
He has no discretion when it comes to telling people things about himself.
We look for that. We applaud that. You know, half the time it's, you know, I'm always saying embarrassing things and have no discretion on this show. So it's nice to have somebody else do that with me, you know? It's fantastic. It's for good entertainment. That's what it is.
Yeah. We've had Craig on our show a couple of times now, so we have a pretty good relationship with him. I don't think he's going to mind. He's picked off some music from my show, and I've picked off some from him. So, we're all over the map as far as, you know, the music, doing electronic, you know, folk guys. So, I'm totally different angle at getting at things than what's Craig going at. So even though it was totally a rip of that, and I have no qualms with that. I knew it wasn't going to be the exact same interview because Tom and I, tend to rat hole things pretty, you know, we're pretty good. We're masters of that, really. That's what
I don't know where you're getting this intel from, but I'll agree with you on it.
Okay. Cool. But, Tom, I'm kind of out of questions. I mean, I want to download all these.
Now that you've discovered he has the other albums?
Yeah, and I don't want to download them while I'm still on Skype. So I've got the Bandcamp things open, ready to click download here in just a second. But do you have anything else, Tom?
No. Did you have any, this is going to sound like we're executing you, but did you have any last words on your end over there? In Cloud Kicker world.
Sometimes people say hey to their mom or their wives. We've had that too.
I talked to all those people enough.
Hell with them. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, screw them.
I don't I don't understand that. Like when people go on radio or TV, and all they want to like do is say hello to their friends. Like, well, when you hear your friends and family, like you hang out with them, right? Like you talk to them regularly. I don't understand what about the medium of radio and TV.
Maybe they should stop saying hello, and they should be like, I just want to give a shout-out to.
Well, they have done that.
But they already do that.
Yeah, they do do that.
But that sounds more
appropriate. They started doing that I feel like they started doing that like on TRL.
I think you might be right.
Just say a bunch of names of people you know, and then they'll, like, what does that do? Does that mean that they're also, that they're famous? Like, if you say their names on TV, then you make them famous?
No. Maybe.
I don't know. I think if somebody mentioned me on TRL, I'd be pretty happy about that.
I personally got so sick of hearing my name on TRL that I had to ask them to stop. But I think the whole thing stems back to grade school. Now, let me paint a picture for you. Paint a picture with my mind brush. Now, what I think it is you remember when you used to go to a bathroom in grade school? You'd get the hall pass, and you'd walk by the other classes, and you'd see your friends in the other class. But you were going to see them in about an hour or so at recess. But you'd see them with the door would be open, and you'd be in the hallway, and you'd be jumping up and down, waving and, you know, whisper yelling their name, going, hey, hey, like that. And then when they saw you, you'd go, hi. And then you'd walk away. And I just think that we've always just kind of, that's the way we were brought up. Like when you're on something or when you're somewhere where they're like, what are you doing over there? Then you get to go, hey, look at me. I'm over here in the hallway. I'm going to go pee, you know, and like you're privileged. So I think that's where it comes from. I think we were just all kind of brought up that way because we've seen it done before us, and it's going to continue to happen, much like the circle of life.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are a lot of things about what we do as people that I don't understand, and it's just one of them. But I'm not going to say.
No, there's only one. There's only one thing. I'm sorry.
That's
go
the
ahead.
Only thing we're talking about. Well, I want to say something on your behalf. And we talked a lot about Bandcamp, and it's pretty easy here. It's cloudkicker.bandcamp.com. And if you head there, you'll see Beacon's album. Yeah?
As I did, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got a pretty funny email from someone like a couple days ago. Like, what are these people who, probably nice guy, but just got everything wrong? Like, he called, the funny thing is that he called Bandcamp Soundcamp. Like, hey, I saw your music on your Soundcamp page. And I think, like, if you're not an 85-year-old man, there's no excuse for getting that wrong.
Right.
Like, it's clearly called Bandcamp. Like, and you couldn't have found my music there on this page. You presumably saw it on, you couldn't have found it without typing it incorrectly or at least clicking on the correct link on Google. So to then send me an email saying, I forget what exactly the context of the email was, but it's like, why would you call it Soundcamp? It's clearly Bandcamp.
They're one step away from
really funny.
Yeah, one step away of putting the Soundcamp, kind of like the Google or the Facebook. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, just type your question into a Word document and press enter, and then that's how you use the Google.
Oh, awesome.
No, sorry about that. You're going to say something. I interrupted you because I had a pseudo.
Oh, no, that's perfectly
he
well.
He was just talking about your Soundcamp page.
Yeah.
Soundcamp,
that's
you go to
cloudkicker.soundcamp.com.
No.
I assume that they got... Go ahead.
No, it's my Soundcamp page, and the address for that is cloudkicker.bandcamp.com.
Clever. I like that even better.
It'll take you straight to my Soundcamp page.
That's awesome. I love it.
I'm assuming that the person got SoundCloud and Bandcamp mixed up.
Don't make excuses for this person.
I'm not. He's still stupid. I'm just saying.
Like, some people just write emails in 6 seconds, and then whatever they wrote down, they just click send immediately, and they go on to whatever they wanted. Like, they run outside, or their house is burning down. And, you know, some of the emails I get, it's like, I just got to send this one email, and then I can, you know, I need to go to the airport because I'm going to China. Like, I don't, it's like, I only have 4.5 seconds to write this email. Whatever comes out, I'm sending it. I don't care.
It's like that, the commercial where the guys are talking about who let the dogs out. And the guy's restaurant's
exactly
on
like
fire, gotta go.
It's exactly like a commercial on television. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. So soundcamp.com doesn't actually exist. I'm kind of disappointed about that.
I so want to buy that domain name then.
Yeah. You should. Maybe you should buy that and you can put all of your music on.
You could have it redirect. That way you won't have this confusion ever again.
Yeah, it's true.
There was something else that... Oh, okay. I remembered what it was.
Thank God.
Gene Simmons.
Oh,
thoughts.
Okay.
Any thoughts on Gene Simmons? No? We were on a roll, Tom.
We were. He's obsessed with Gene Simmons in the sense
I'm not obsessed with Gene Simmons.
You are. Don't deny it. You're obsessed with Gene Simmons because Gene Simmons threatened anybody who shares music should be taken out and beaten, like physically.
Something
and
he
said something to the effect of comparing it to like some punk kid in his mom's basement should be taken outside and publicly beaten in front of people, and like made this huge like violent statement about it. And so Doug's kind of had a I can't think of a different way to not say hard on for him.
I mostly just like Tom's expression whenever I bring it up.
I know.
He would just stop doing that. I would stop bringing it up.
That's a good point. So any thoughts on that, Ben?
There's a lot of people in life that are, tool bags. And I don't make it a point to, I don't really care what Gene Simmons says, so.
But he's on TV.
That problem on my end.
Cool.
Now, if I don't care what Gene Simmons says, now I don't have to think about what Gene Simmons said, so I can.
See, now that's deep.
Yeah.
That's some existential thinking right there. I like it. All right. Well,
yeah.
Ben, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and talking with us and whatever this last, you know, I think 10, 15 minutes has been of the show. But thanks for coming to us on with us and talking with us today on the show. And hope to talk to you again sometime and hope that you still keep the steady flow that you're enjoying of your music.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, and we'll see you all next time on Music Manumit at musicmanumit.com.